John chapter 6. Here we have, of course, the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. I was looking it up. Today they say that there are 842 million people who struggle with hunger every day. There are 1.2 billion people who live on less than $1.25 a day. 1.2 billion. It's also interesting to note that as you look at that map of poverty, you also notice that apart from a couple other circumstances like oil, that you find that that hunger is very much related to places where the Word of God has not entered a culture or a people. And here in this passage of Scripture, we find a relationship or a relationship between earthly bread and eternal bread. As we look at the people who came to the Lord, and we'd like to look at the feeding of the 5,000. It's just a beginning in John chapter 6. Jesus said in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the bread, meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for under him hath the, for him hath God the Father sealed." As we look at this passage of Scripture, we see a great crowd of people seeking after the Lord. And the Lord is somewhat chastising them, even though obviously he did feed them and he had compassion on them and he saw their physical needs and he was willing to meet those physical needs. But he summarized their attraction to him when he says, "You seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Now, we don't want to talk about eating too much today, but do you know the fact is that you may go home today and have a nice meal. And usually on Sunday afternoon, my wife has a first class A number one meal. And, you know, it's really, you know, it's not like a normal lunch. It's a great meal, usually meat and potatoes and vegetable. And of course, Hannah will have her famous dessert. And, I mean, you know, and it's not potatoes out of a box, you know, and it's not vegetables out of a can. You know, it's real food, you know what I mean? And I mean, it'd be a great meal. And, you know, then we'll go to church again at night. And, you know, everybody usually comes home hungry. It's an amazing thing. I mean, how could that be? I mean, had this A1 number one meal at noon. It wasn't quite at noon, but you know, that's why I like church fellowship meals, you know, because we can have a great meal here at church on Friend Day or whatever and have a great time, great food, great time to talk to people, and we won't be the first ones to leave, and, you know, people will be putting away tables and things will be cleaned up, and we'll get home before maybe 2 o'clock, maybe even 1:45. But on a typical Sunday we don't even begin to think about eating till about 1:45. So we have this great meal, but after church, it seems like everybody comes home and they're hungry. And I had this meal. I mean, do you ever do that? Do you ever eat more than once a day? I mean, you eat a great meal and then you're hungry again? Well, you know, I remember last Sunday we had a great meal and I thought, man, I don't know if I can eat again. I guess I was thinking temporarily. You know, there are two kinds of needs of men. There are temporary needs and there are eternal needs. And much of life, mistakenly and sadly, is spent on temporal needs. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven's glory, took on human flesh, was the God-man, was to die in our place in Calvary's cross. And here he is on earth, and people are gathering around him for temporal needs. Needs that, you know, they had this great meal. The Bible says that there's 5,000 men, and then besides that, women and children. Must have been quite a crowd, huh? And it says they ate till they were filled. And then there was an abundance left over. 12 baskets full. And, you know, I'm sure history would record that those people were hungry sometime later, you know, whether it was the next day or later that night. And they had a great meal prepared for them by the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the people in the wilderness, Israel in the wilderness, numbering about 200 million, that great, I mean, two million people, 200,000 soldiers, of soldier age of men 20 years and up, about 2 million people going through the wilderness, and God gave them manna every morning. And what a great miracle it was. God provided for them manna every morning. And the next day, that manna, even though it was provided from heaven, even though it was a direct act of God, it still merely supplied their physical needs, and the next day they had to get some more manna. And here we find that Jesus said, the reason that you're coming to me, this crowd, is not because of the miracles that showed that I am the Son of God, the Messiah, the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and the God-man, but you've come to me because of the food. I remember being in Kenya, where the Simonsons were in Eastland and Nairobi in the slum district, and they had a little handful of people that would come, and maybe 2,000 feet away was this great big building. And, man, there was a real crowd there. Their doctrine wasn't right, and their music wasn't right. But they had a big crowd there because every Sunday they gave away food. They gave away bags of rice. And so they had a big crowd because their ministry was focused on a crowd, and their ministry was focused on the temporal. But you know, those temporal needs will always be, You know, you can feed someone who is hungry, but you know, tomorrow they're going to be hungry again. And next day they're going to be hungry again. And even though Jesus supplied this meal, and although he did it by divine act, I mean, it only met the temporal need. Because if there were some young men there, they probably were hungry just a few hours later, looking for another big meal. And if you're a mom, you know that to be true. And if you're a teenager, you know that's true. And so we find that the focus here becomes the temporal versus the eternal. You know, life is, the great battle of life is the temporal versus the eternal. You know, there are things that give temporal pleasure. They're not all wrong. But that that temporal pleasure, it doesn't satisfy. You know, most of life is about. We used to have in California. We used to have this hunt called a bigger and better hunt. Did you ever go on a bigger and better hunt? And we would give each young person. We'd give them like a nail. 16 penny sinker, you know. And there'd be all these teams. We send them out with a 16 penny sinker. And I says, now, you go out and wherever you want to go, you go knocking on doors and tell them where you're from and tell them that you're on a bigger and better hunt and that you'd like to trade this nail for something bigger and better. Okay? And so, they had to get something bigger and better. All right, so the people would come up with whatever. And I think we did that a couple times here. And who knows what you'll come back with, you know. Some kids came back with a couch, and some came back with a chair, and some came back with a frying pan, and you name it. I mean, they came back with something that's bigger and better. But you know, sometimes life becomes, people always are looking for something bigger and better. You know, that, you know, you say to yourself, you know, if I only had such and such, boy, I would be happy. And so you get such and such. And you say, oh, this is great, I got this. And you know, maybe if you're real spiritual, it'll take 6 months and you'll say, you know, I wish I had, you know, the next thing. You know what I'm saying? I wish I had just a little bit better, you know, whatever it is. You know, if you started off with, you're a little kid and you had a cane pole, you know, and I remember having a cane pole when I was a kid, you know, that's what we fished with, a cane pole. And you had a line on this pole, and, you know, you could only go out so far, you know. And you're always thinking, you know, if I had a real fishing pole, I'd get some real fish, you know. I can only go out there, you know, 15 feet into the lake. And, you know, and then you could wish you had a casting rod. Well, after a while, you see the big guys come out with this real fishing rod. Boy, I like that one. You know, where does it stop? You know, I suppose, I remember when I was a kid, I bought my first bike. I was in eighth grade. It was the first time I got a new bike. And I worked a job for 50 cents an hour. And it took me 40 hours of work. Of course, I didn't save it all, so it took me a lot longer than that. Took me 40 hours of work to buy my first bike. It was $20. brand new bike. $20 for a brand new bike. Not too long ago, I was talking to someone, and I guess I'm not into life too much, but you know what? There are people that buy bikes for like $1,500, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. I mean, you have to supply the manpower to make it move, and they're still spending all that money. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, you got in your bike and you drove. I mean, you just rode your bike. And nowadays, though, if you have a bike, I mean, you have to have those special spandex biking pants. I mean, if you don't have those, you shouldn't be on the road. I mean, you are a danger to society. You know, and I suppose that there are special shoes you have to have. Are there? You know, I suppose there's special socks, you know. And I suppose that there are special eyeglasses, you know, that help you see the lines on the road. I don't know. But you know, it's amazing. There's no end of the temporary satisfaction of the temporal. There is no end to the temporary satisfaction of the temporal. But even the physical legitimate need, the Lord had compassion on the people. And he met their need. And you know the Bible says that he has yet, Psalmist says, Psalm 37 verse 25, he has yet to see the righteous begging bread. It's amazing how the Lord takes care of his people. And even in poverty-stricken countries, the Lord takes care of his people. As he saw the people, he was moved with compassion and he met their needs. I remember Brother Hines was, we were in Burma. And he was going to go to India for the next Bible conference. And I could hear him on the phone. He's talking to the director of this conference and the pastor. And the guy is asking him for more money because they were bringing people and they were feeding them and they were preaching to them. And he's asking Brother Hines for some more money. And Brother Hines says, well, can't you help out? You know, can't you provide for this? I mean, am I supposed to pay for everything? And the man says, oh, you don't understand, we're poor. And I remember Brother Hines said to him, well, do you teach your people how to tithe? Oh, he says, oh, no. We're too poor to tithe. Well, Brother Hines says, well, if you don't teach them how to tithe, they'll stay poor. They're going to stay poor. And that certainly is the fact that God does provide for his people. And he's interested in our temporal needs. But they still are temporal. And the Lord says, you don't seek me because of the miracles, but you ate of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto eternity. Everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. So today we think about, what satisfies in life? What satisfies in life? Did, you know, young person, that first bike you got? I mean, you still as happy with that first bike you got right now as you did the day you got it? Or do you need a better one? You know? But it doesn't really satisfy. It's only temporary satisfaction. And so he says, labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. So, think of what it truly satisfies in life. Turn to John chapter 4. Here he's talking to the woman at the well. And Jesus said to her in verse number 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou living water? Jesus said, verse 13, Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now here's a woman that her life was full of the temporary. She had four husbands now, had four husbands, now was on her a live-in relationship. She was an empty person. You know, the world is full of empty people. I was just reading a book someone gave me, and this person was talking about witnessing to prostitutes. In fact, this person was talking about witnessing to homosexuals. And he would go to a homosexual festival. And he'd go witnessing. And he said, I like what he said. He said, you know, if you approach it the right way, you'll find out that these people are really empty. These people are really empty. And he said the same thing about witnessing to prostitutes. He said, these people are really empty. We live in a world that is gone after the temporal, and they are really empty. You know, we need to have a greater boldness and greater love for people. We need to recognize what is really behind that mask, what is really behind that facade. I wonder if you could say that the bigger the, I'm sure it's not totally true, but could you say the bigger the house, maybe the bigger the emptiness that's behind those walls? Could you say that the person who has to have the biggest car might be reflecting a bigger emptiness? And certainly this woman was a woman who had a facade that was unapproachable and that would be the last thing that would want to know about eternal things. But Jesus knew that there was no true satisfaction in life in the temporal. There's no true satisfaction in the temporal. And our world is telling you that you have to pursue the temporal. That's where you're going to find satisfaction. Some of you may heard me tell a story about Dick Leap. Dick Leap is from Delafield, Wisconsin. I met him many years ago. But Dick Leap, at 30 years old, inherited Zumach Paint Company. And he was an instant millionaire. Millionaires aren't anything today, but He was multimillionaire. And he had everything money could buy at 30 years of age. I mean, he had a house on a canal that connected to Mobbin Lake. I mean, that's before everybody had big houses. And I mean, he had it, you know. He had everything. And he came to Christ as a Savior. And I talked to Dick Leap one day. And years ago, he gave all the paint to the church and supplied hundreds of gallons of paint to paint the barn down at the parsonage. But I talked to him one day. He says, you know, I was fortunate enough at 30 years of age to find out that having all the money in the world where you could buy anything you want was empty. He said, most people spend their life trying to get there. Always in this vain, empty thinking that if they would get there, somehow they would be happy. And as long as people are in that pursuit, thinking that somehow if they get there, that will make them happy, they will never realize how empty it is. But he says, I got everything. I got everything you wanted at 30 years of age. And he said, I realized it was empty, empty, empty. And by the grace of God, someone came across his path with the gospel, and he trusted Christ as a Savior. And here we have the same principle. A woman who tried to find something in life. And had all the trimmings of satisfying, but it was empty. And the Lord says the same thing to her. He says, you know, there is something in life that is far more important than this. There's something in life that does satisfy, that once you have it, you are satisfied. Your thirst is quenched. You have that which life is all about. You'll have water that you'll thirst not again. True satisfaction. I wonder today, do you have true satisfaction? That's a good question. Young person. Let me ask this question. Are you saved? Are you satisfied? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you satisfied? Or are you looking for something else? That's a good question. Are you looking for something else? Well, the question is, did you really come to the real thing yet? If you came to the real thing, the Bible says, not satisfied. But you're looking for something, satisfaction somewhere else? There's nothing else. There's only one thing. And so he said to the woman at the well, I'll give you something that you'll not thirst again. Now in John chapter 6, he talks about bread. Verse 48, he says, I am that bread of life. As your fathers did eat man in the wilderness and are dead, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Wow. What a contrast. There's bread that you eat that not only will you hunger again, but you're going to die someday. He says, but I have some bread that you'll never die. Eternal. It's not only satisfying, but it is eternal. Difference between the temporary and the eternal. And of course, the real issue is why? Because you and I are a soul. We're a living soul. And as a living soul, There's only one thing that really meets the criteria of eternal satisfaction. That is what meets the need of the soul. What meets the need of the soul? Well, bread is good, but it doesn't meet the need of the soul. Things are good, but they don't meet the need of the soul. What is the need of the soul? Jesus Christ. Of course, we have this great illustration here that gets twisted. This great illustration, but verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, of course, the Catholics twist this all about. But you know, the Bible is full of these kind of imagery. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how do you taste and see that the Lord is good? Well, you aren't going to go and buy a steak. But there is the principle of eating where when you eat something, you have to decide that you are going to eat it. You're going to partake of it. And when you eat something, it is also a step of faith, isn't it? You know, they say that the Chinese make hamburger buns out of cardboard. So you better make sure you know where those hamburger buns were made from. But you know, there is a simple measure of faith. When you eat something, there's a conscious decision. There is an act of faith, of deciding that you are going to partake of that which you're going to eat. And Jesus said there is a spiritual eating of Jesus Christ. There is a decision that you're going to take Him as your Savior. There's a decision that you are going to believe on Him. There's going to be a decision that you're going to trust Him for what He has done. You're going to trust Him for what He says He offers to you. And it's by faith. The results are by faith. But they're real. They're real. You really get eternal life. And when do you get eternal life? Do you get eternal life like it says at the funeral, where it says on the card, you know, born to eternal life. You know, this person died July 5th. It says, born eternal life, July 5th. Is that when they were born eternal life? No. You're born to eternal life when you get saved. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now it's real life. Life is real. If you get eternal life, you have real new life. It's real. You get it the moment you're saved. You get real life. And Jesus said, you get that life, you'll never hunger again. You'll never have hunger again. And he's implying that you're not going to be, once you're saved, you got eternal life. You don't need to get it again because you got it. And certainly this is in contrast to the temporary satisfaction of the things of the world. Now notice He talks about the practical aspect of this, eating this bread. Verse 63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This relationship with Jesus Christ is centered in the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Bible says, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know, those who are in this eternal realm recognize that the center of this relationship is found in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, they were looking for temporary bread. He says, but you know, if you're really interested in eternal bread, eternal life, there's a place that you're going to go, and it's going to go to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is where you get faith. The Word of God is where you get truth. It is the Word of God that works in your soul, that draws you to, the Holy Spirit uses to draw you to Christ. This is that source of that faith. This is that source of the truth. And so we have two contrasts. People who are seeking temporary food and those who are seeking the truth of Jesus Christ. Those who are seeking the spiritual are going to be in the Word of God. Those who think the temporal is more important are going to neglect the Word of God. Those who recognize that it is God and the spiritual that's the most important are going to go to the truths of the Word of God and to God's Word. You know, it's interesting. You think about the parallels today. Someone was telling me that the typical mega church, no one takes a Bible. But go in the parking lot and see what kind of cars are out there. I don't think you're going to find many rust buckets out there. But you aren't going to be finding many Bibles inside. The temporal versus the eternal. There is a satisfaction that comes in life that is only found in Jesus Christ. Young person, I'm wondering today, are you thinking that your satisfaction in life is going to come from this world? Are you thinking that your satisfaction is going to come by the amount of things that you own? You think your satisfaction is going to come by the earthly experiences that you experienced? Sad to say, most of those things will just require something bigger and better. But Jesus Christ is the bread that satisfies. Jesus Christ is the bread for the most important part of life, that's our soul. He died on Calvary's cross to give the gift of eternal life. You know, I kind of like the parallel. Jesus fed the 5,000, and there's 12 baskets left over. He had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he fed, well, I really think probably about 15,000 people. You know, I think that'd be conservatively correct. 15,000 people, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he had 12 baskets left over. Wow. What the Lord can do. And then there's always something left over. But you know, how much more so if the Lord can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and meet those temporary needs and there's all that's left over. What, isn't that a great picture of how when we talk about the most important things, our soul, and we talk about the fact that Jesus Christ is going to die on the cross and he is going to pay for the sins of the whole world. Wow. Think of the great abundance in Jesus Christ. The multitudes who will find eternal life in him. And the abundance of life that comes from Jesus Christ. You know, boys and girls, this week we're going to talk about building your life in Vacation Bible School. And hopefully we're going to have a picture in your mind of what your life is going to be like at the end of life. And hopefully your teacher will show you some pictures of a little boy, nice little boy. And then show you a picture of some of those nice little boys, what their life is like at the end of life. Some of those little boys are going to go to jail. Some of those little nice little boys are going to die in an alley. Some of those nice little boys are going to become a rock star and die of a drug overdose in their 40s. Or 30s or 20s. You know, at an early age, we have to decide if we want to go after the temporal or are going to have to go after the spirit, the eternal. Either we're going to go for the things that the world offers us, or we're going to have to say, you know, there's only one thing that will truly satisfy my soul, and that is Jesus Christ and living for him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you today that as a Christian we get not only the blessing of a Savior who supplies our temporal needs, but Lord, we have a Savior who can give and take care of the greatest need, that we have the forgiveness of sins, a new birth, eternal life. All the spiritual blessings found in Jesus Christ. The blessing of being able to pray. The blessing of having fellowship with the Holy God, the blessing of having the Holy Spirit live within us, the blessing of having and being in God's will for our life, the blessing of investing our life in eternal things, the only things that count. The blessings of knowing that there's a God who works all things together for good. All the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Blessings that could never be bought. Blessings that are far more significant than we could ever imagine. Lord, even today, help us to decide what we want to live for, the temporal or the eternal. And Lord, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I pray today that, Lord, that you will help that believer not to forget the only real satisfaction is found in Jesus Christ. I pray that you help that young person not to be blinded by the lies of the world that only require bigger and better, so to speak, things to make one happy. Lord, pray you'd work in our hearts even today to trust you with our lives. For those who are pursuing the temporal things and putting them in front of the Lord, I pray that you'll help them by faith decide to put the Lord first and let him take care of all those needs as they seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray that you'll help that young person today not to be lost in this message of the world that makes everything about the temporal and puts the eternal and the spiritual second. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe even today.